Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing? Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're going to stick around for a while. We have a couple of guests in our first hour tonight. One of the original founders of Air America Radio, Shelley Drobny, and current co-owner of this network, Nova M, is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. He has a show on Sundays on the network, and we want to talk to you about it because I think I'm going to be a guest there this week. And then a little bit later, we'll hear from Brad Friedman of bradblog.com to discuss the possible strange happenings yet again with Diebold voting machines in the New Hampshire primary. There's some weird stuff going on out there on the internet about the polling that was done on Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and how it just absolutely flip-flopped at the last possible moment. So we'll be talking to Brad about that, and also some stuff popping up on the internet about the strange business with Diebold voting machines or whoever they were. I don't know. Touchscreen voting machines, easily hacked. Well, we'll get to it in a few minutes, okay? See, it just never stops, does it? I tore this ad out yesterday of the New York Times, Monday's New York Times, from the California Nurses Association and the National Nurses Organizing Committee, and I read it to you on the air last night, the high points, and I went to throw it away, and I can't. I just wonder why you and I are not entitled to the same health care as members of Congress, Bush and Cheney. Why not? I understand there are perks in certain jobs. Like if you're a hedge fund manager for one of the big companies on Wall Street, and the end of the year comes, you get a $10 million bonus. You and I don't get that. We don't get that for shuffling figures around, ripping people off, and making sure a few other people get rich. No, no, no. But and it's understandable. Members of Congress, they're an elite group, right? What do they make, $159,000 a year now? Ooh. And Cheney and Bush, why do they have the type of health care, government paid, that you and I can't have? Why is that? You know, the ad talks about Cheney treated once again in hospital for an irregular heartbeat back in November. And the ad says if he were anyone else, he'd probably be dead by now. The patient's history and prognosis were grim: four heart attacks, quadruple bypass surgery, angioplasty, an implanted defibrillator, and now an emergency procedure to treat an irregular heartbeat. For millions of Americans, this would be a death sentence. But for the vice president, just another medical treatment. Unlike the average American, the president, vice president, members of Congress all enjoy government-financed health care with very few restrictions or prohibitive fees. They are never turned away for pre-existing conditions or denied care for what an insurance company labels experimental treatments. So let's call it Cheney care. So why can't we have that? You know, you get elected to Congress, and you show up in Congress, and you've got your diabetes, and you have cancer of your kidney, and you've got a huge tumor eating half of your thyroid away, and you have migraine headaches unexplained, and you have a multiple sclerosis. Guess what? As soon as you're sworn in, it's all covered! With insurance, paid for by the government, which means taxes, which means you and I. Why do members of Congress and the Bush crime family get complete medical, dental, vision, and long-term care? Why do they have all the deductibles and co-pays and hidden fees done away with? Why do they get to choose their doctor, their lab, their hospital, their healthcare facility? Why is it completely portable and not tied to employment? Because when these rat bastards leave office, guess what goes with them? And their coverage is free from interference or second-guessing by insurance companies. Now, there's an attempt to get the same thing for you and me. It's called H.R. 676, Medicare for All. H.R. 676. You want to know about this? Go to CheneyCare ChaneyCare.org. ChaneyCare.org. Check it out, okay? Son of a bitch, this so irritates me. It really does.
Government-financed health care?
No, taxpayer-financed health care. They get it. You and I don't. And we are told that such a thing is,
well, that's socialized medicine. We can't have that. Oh, my God.
That's reserved to 535 members of the United States Congress, both the House and the Senate, and the executive branch, which includes all the cabinet members and sub-cabinet members and sub-sub-cabinet members, oh, and the Supreme Court and the federal judiciary, and on and on and on. But you and I, no, 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 no. You and I either deal with impossibly high premiums to get health care or no health care. Or we have treatments to not... I'm not going to get into it. You know what the situation is. But why does Dick Cheney get this and you don't? Why does Antonin Scalia get this and I don't? Rudy Giuliani, long time ago, back when he was mayor of New York, someone sent this to me. He was at some kind of a forum sponsored by the New York Post about free speech, what freedom means in a democracy. This is back in the mid-90s. And Giuliani, according to the Post, Giuliani discussed his philosophy of what freedom means in a democracy at, it's a forum on urban crime. Now, keep in mind that at the time, Giuliani was the mayor, former attorney general, United States attorney in Manhattan. He said New Yorkers were inclined to, quote, see only the oppressive side of authority, end quote. He went on to say, quote, what we don't see is that freedom is not a concept in which people can do anything they want, be anything they can be. Freedom, he said, is about authority. Freedom is about the willingness of every single human being to cede to lawful authority a great deal of discretion about what you do. End quote. Asked later about his remarks, Giuliani said, anarchy would result if everyone were allowed to behave exactly as he wanted. And he cited Oliver Wendell Holmes' adage that freedom of expression does not include shouting fire, falsely shouting fire, in a crowded theater. However, Norman Siegel, the executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union at the time, said he was floored by the mayor's definition. Siegel said, order, quote, order is an element of freedom, but to put the emphasis on order rather than on a just and fair society is inverting the meaning and significance of freedom, end quote. But I think we all know that Giuliani has as much chance of becoming president as Cheney does. Ooh, what am I saying? But you've got to identify these Nazis so that we don't waste so much time dealing with the Nazis and the white racists and the religious fanatics and the psychopaths who are actually running for president and actually collecting money and actually getting media exposure. We have them in this monstrous field of Democrats and Republicans. We have them. We have racists. We have incipient Nazis. We have psychopaths. We have people who are so far around the bend, it's you can't compute how far they're around the bend. But at least let's know who they are, huh? From Rudy Mussolini, freedom is about authority. Orwell must be spinning in his grave.
Tomorrow belongs to me. to The Flying Monkey Right. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Anyone past the hour. Shelley Drobny is the founder of Air America. He's also the founder of Nova M Radio, and he joins us now. Hey, Shelley.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Well, you once said before the holidays you felt like I didn't love you anymore, so I figured I'd call in.
Oh, my God.
And I'm telling everybody I love you.
Sorry, all right, what do you want?
What do I want?
Yeah, you obviously want something.
Oh, sure, sure.
Okay, all right, what
That's
do you
what
want?
My Jewish mother said.
Yeah.
Anyway, first of all, I'd like to, offline, I'd like Kathy to sing me that song you have on your greeting. I didn't understand the word.
All right, Kathy, open your mic. Go ahead.
I'm not going to sing it now. I keep forgetting to change our holiday answering machine
greeting. On our home phone.
It sounded cute, but I couldn't understand it. But
Thank you.
Offline, you'll tell me, Kathy, okay?
Well, she had
be
a
changed by morning.
She had a mouthful of fruitcakes when she was. I got an email here said I'm invited on your show this Sunday. Is that right?
Yes, I have to ask your permission because you're going to be our first guest if you so decide.
Oh yeah! Oh hell
and,
yeah!
I mean, and the audience is going to get a chance to listen to me interview you.
Oh my God!
And find out some. Personal things, to the extent you will allow me to do that, and we'll just have a general conversation.
Is this on the network or just KPHX?
No, it's not the network yet. We're just starting. It's on KPHX, but it's streaming.
But it can be streamed.
Yes.
At
the same location at www.novemradio.com, and it's on a very good time. It's on 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock. Mountain time, Phoenix time, for at least for the moment, and then 8 o'clock West Coast. The nice part about that is it's right after the Sunday freak shows, the Tim Russert shows,
right.
It's just before the playoffs in football, so it gives you a little bit of a break after you've had enough of Russert and the gang.
Yeah.
To listen to The Cutting Edge. The name of the show is The Cutting Edge.
Cutting Edge.
Yeah.
Does Anita do this with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. It's myself.
Yeah, she's your wife.
Yeah, Anita, my wife.
Right.
The co-founder of all this stuff.
Yeah.
And another gentleman who is my dentist, who I have wonderful conversations with.
Your dentist?
Yeah, he's terrific. He gives me...
What the hell kind of a show is this?
Oh, no, it's wonderful because...
Your wife, and your dentist. I'm going to start one with me, my wife, and my proctologist.
No, this is wonderful because he's really terrific. I mean, he's a really insurrection kind of guy. He's not a dentist.
Oh.
He's a...
A radical dentist, a bomb-throwing dentist?
Yeah, when he treats me... He gives me nitrous oxide, so we have wonderful conversations while I'm flying off the roof, So it's great. And actually, we conceived the idea of the show while I was getting a root canal,
Too much information.
Anyway.
Way too much.
It's the three of us, and he's a good focal point because Anita and I, this show is like a combination of the Bickersons, Burns and Allen for me and Anita, and then he comes in there with all of these radical ideas. Some of them are good.
Shelley, you know 90% of our audience doesn't know what the Bickersons or Burns and Allen, means?
I'm dating myself.
Maybe like the Daily Show?
Well, yeah, except Burns and Allen, they were classic comedians.
That's right. I loved them.
And she would always play Miss Malapropisms,
She was great.
And George Burns would sort of look and, comment about it. And the Bickersons were an old radio team, Don Amici, and I forget the other one, Francis Langford, I think. And they would have a radio show about the bickering Bickerson. So
this is for that part of our audience over the age of 76.
No, but it's cutting edge too. My dentist is like 35.
No. I mean the radio programs you're talking about.
Oh yeah. Well, you got to go to. They have old time radio on XM. So if you want to listen.
Well, that's I love old time radio on XM. I listen to some of those old radio tapes, and I can barely remember my parents listening to Allen's Alley, Fred Allen. One Man's Family, all of those old programs. I was just a wee lad when those came out. All right, so we're going to do this Sunday,
yes,
at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
Correct.
And it's called The Cutting Edge.
Right, and the call-in number is the same as yours for telephone calls, and I expect people to call.
All right.
And, you know, we're just going to have fun. You know, it's going to be informative as well as fun, and I think people are going to see that, you know, I not only report and comment on news, but as you know, I make news too.
That's right, you do.
So we have a nice Rolodex of people we know in the political and business world, and we're going to have you on first, but we're going to have some other surprise guests, and people are going to learn a lot in this show and have a good time. And
sounds like a good. Is this runs an hour?
This runs an hour.
One
and,
hour. Okay.
I'm hoping that the guys at Sirius and XM we'll listen to it and pick it up.
Sounds
good. I'm just trying myself. I'm learning
right.
The radio business.
There's the break music, Shelley.
Okay.
Now, if you remember Burns and Allen, I'm just going to say this, then we got to go to commercials. Say goodnight, Shelley.
Goodnight, Shelley.
We'll see you Sunday at 11 a.m.
Thanks a lot.
Shelley Drobny, The Cutting Edge. Tune in this Sunday. Or, I don't know, something bad will happen to me.
You might get a root canal. Coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let me share this with you, and then Brad is with us here in just a second. This comes from Rosalind in Canada. The subject line says Bedlam. She writes, Mike, what on earth is going on in this three-ring circus called a U.S. election? Are we to believe that the American people are so naive that they would vote based on emotions or good looks or some other petty trait? What way is this to choose a world leader? God help the rest of the world if they, the people, don't grow up and use their common sense when voting. Maybe that's why these elections are interminably long, to bore and confuse the people, ensuring they won't know what the heck they're thinking when the whole stupid show is over. Hillary's bit of so-called blubbering was so insignificant that you had to really look close to see if there was any emotion there at all. To me, it looked like confusion brought on by fatigue. Imagine if she got in. She is so pro-Zionist now, and as far as McCain, he would just blow up the whole of the Middle East. The nightmare is only just beginning. We won't even go into the trouble the fool is causing while in Israel. No favoritism there, right? Roz is... I don't know. Roz is... I do know. Roz is glad she doesn't live in America. That's what Roz is glad. Or the United States, I should say. Brad Friedman is the originator, the artist, the chief editor and head writer of bradblog.com. He's also one of the leading investigative reporters in this entire country where it concerns voter fraud, especially where it concerns these hideous machines. He joins us right now from LA. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I've been reading this thing not just on your page, but or your site, not your page, your site. But I've been seeing this all over the internet about the possibility of serious voter fraud in New Hampshire, where it concerns Hillary and Barack, and also where it concerns the handful of Ron Paul votes that occurred in the Sutton district, and I think there's another district, where people who actually voted for Ron Paul, and then it comes up zero. Not that I'm a Ron Paul fan, but it's not just Hillary and Barack, although it appears that those two, that something really, really weird may have happened. Now, I don't know. I thought I would just give this some air and let's see what you got.
Well, you should give it some air. And let me, before I give you some details on it, let me make an important distinction here. The concern here is not voter fraud. The voters are doing fine. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
It's the election fraud.
Yes.
That's a concern. That's no small difference. No small difference, because we've got a case in front of the Supreme Court today, in which the Republicans are in there arguing there's this massive epidemic of voter fraud. Therefore, we need to have these photo IDs,
right.
As you know, down
that's
in Georgia.
That's the Indiana case.
Yeah.
And we have it here in Atlanta. Here in Georgia, it's either part of the law here now, or it isn't, or it is, or it isn't. I'm not sure where we stand here.
Well, it's meant to do nothing but
right.
Keep Democratic voters off the rolls. It's a
Absolutely.
Republican scam, and it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. And so it's important when we to draw the distinction between voter fraud. The voters are doing fine, but the elections are a concern.
Good point. Thanks for that distinction. Because
sure.
You're
and
absolutely
that's,
right.
That's exactly what we've got here in New Hampshire. And I'll say, let's for just a second say there was no problem. Every vote was recorded accurately in New Hampshire. Well, problem is, as you've noted, you're seeing stuff all over the place, all over the Internet, certainly over at bradblog.com, about concerns here. And there will continue to be concerns until you have actual transparency in your voting system. And what we had in New Hampshire was 80% of the votes counted secretly on Diebold OpScan machines, the exact same ones that folks may have seen on HBO's documentary Hacking Democracy,
mm-hmm.
where we saw an election flipped before your very eyes on these optical scan machines that do use paper ballots, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see, and we've got the video over at Brad Blog of this specific hack down in Florida. You can see one ballot after another going in. We know exactly what the results should be, and then you print out the results, and the election is the complete opposite. These are incredibly hackable. Everyone now knows this. You know, Mike, there was years ago when I was on your show, and I was regarded as one of these conspiracy theorists, right?
Right. Yeah, I remember.
You know, well, things have changed. Last Sunday's New York Times Magazine, the cover story, had an exploding voting booth and a warning label saying your vote may be hacked, lost, destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is not conspiracy theory stuff. This is very serious stuff. We now know this in state after state. We've got a problem here. And yet, here we go again. In New Hampshire, we've counted 80% of the votes in secret, and the result is, virtually inexplicable to everyone. Everyone, in the meantime, is doing these backflips, you know, trying to figure out how dozens and dozens of independent pollsters could have all gotten it wrong.
Well, even Hillary Clinton's internal polling got it wrong. Every single polling pundit or organizations, from Zogby to Obama to Clinton, they all apparently, quote, got it wrong, end quote. That's astonishing. I saw somebody from what's one of the big polling companies?
Zogby?
Another big polling company. Just say a name.
There's Quinnipiac. All of a sudden they're not a
crime. Damn, I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, he was on one of the news shows tonight.
Yeah.
And said
Gallup.
The Gallup. Thank you. That he was absolutely astonished. This executive from the Gallup polling organization said he was absolutely astonished at. And again, the storyline seems to be how wrong they all got it. Nobody is mentioning the possibility or even the remotest idea that these Diebold machines could have been tampered with.
And we all know that they can be tampered with.
Yes.
and they won't even. They're looking for all kinds of reasons. Oh, it was she cried. She found her voice. The women turned out. The Bradley effect of voting against African Americans, and so on and so forth. And not one of them has the courage to come out and say, "Well, perhaps it's these machines that have been shown to be prone to error or manipulation." You know, from one study to the next across the country, they can't even mention this idea. You know, and I've got I'm talking to some of these pollsters and trying to get some comments from them. But I'd like to ask them, the pollsters, hey, look, if the people who made the calls for you turned around and just gave you a list of their results, who asked for what, you know, and did not show you the actual evidence of those phone calls, would you believe it? Would you accept it? Or would you say, oh, we've got a problem here with transparency. There's no reason to trust these results.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happens, certainly in New Hampshire, where you've got 80% of the machines, you know, 80% of the ballots being counted by a single company, Diebold, who has a single distributor out there, by the way, LHS Associates,
right.
a terrible company. And I could go into details of what some of their executives have done, even over at BradBlog, except I think we would violate the seven dirty words rule here. I mean, these guys are unbelievable, and we've got reports late tonight, in fact, that their lead marketing director, one of them that is the loudest, was actually convicted of drug trafficking in 1987.
Yeah, well, let me, just for people who haven't been to your site yet, or people who haven't read this long explanation Zogby wrote today at Huffington Post, or people who haven't been to Citizens for Legitimate Government today, or people who haven't been to, and I realize these folks have picked up a lot of your work, mediachannel.org. But here's what Citizens for Legitimate Government has. For Hillary Clinton, when the Diebold AccuVote optical scan was used, Hillary Clinton got 39.6% of the vote. When the hand-counted paper ballots from Clinton only give her 34.9. That's almost a 5% difference. Now, Barack Obama, with the Diebold AccuVote optical scan, he got 36%. But on the hand-counted paper ballots, he got 38.6%, which means, apparently it looks like to me, that Obama would have won had every ballot not gone through the Diebold system, but in fact had been hand-counted. Is that a wild-ass assumption on my part, or is that a possibility?
Well, of course it's a possibility. It's certainly as possible as her crying made everybody turn out and vote for her.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's even the woman they had her on Keith Olbermann tonight. The woman who made her cry, quote, didn't vote for her. So that whole story about, well, we saw her tear up and we decided to vote for her, or the whole story that people at the last minute, the people said they were going to vote for Barack Obama, went into the booth and said, no, I think I changed my mind. That's astonishing.
Well, and actually, it wasn't even those people, because we've got a look at, based on some of the exit poll data that you can get at, mind you, all of the exit poll data is adjusted at the end of the election night in order to match up with the results.
Right.
That said, what we have is that Obama's numbers were almost on the money for what he should have had. Edwards were certainly dead on the money for what he should have had.
The only one that didn't turn out right was
Hillary. Got all of these votes from somewhere.
Yeah, hey, hold on a second, yeah. Brad. Let me put you on hold. We'll do a commercial break here and come back. We're talking with Brad Friedman at bradblog.com. If you haven't been to his site today and taken a look at what he's got there, please do. It's being picked up by websites all over the place, legitimate websites. Take a look at what the hell he's got. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, we're talking with Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, who's been an advocate for years now of getting rid of these Diebold machines, the electronic scanning of voter fraud prone machines. Not voter fraud, I'm sorry, electoral fraud. Brad, a listener in Austin, Texas, Kathleen, the subject line, she says, but weren't the exit polls in line with the election results? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I do. Well, actually, nobody does. What we do know is that the adjusted exit polls were in line with the results. They adjust those results to be that data to be in line with the results.
How did they do that? I mean, if you ask someone who you voted for when they come out of the polling station, how do you adjust that?
Well, it's a very technical process that the statisticians who run these polls do. But that was the problem in 2004, is that the leaked raw data got out. And that's what indicated that John Kerry should have won in all of those swing states where he...
Before it had been adjusted.
Before they did the adjustment. Once they did the adjustment, oh, everything was fine. And sure enough, what do you know, it was really close. Bush won, or margin of error. So the exit polls that you're looking at when you go out to CNN or MSNBC or one of these places, these are adjusted numbers, meant to already adjusted to match up with the polls, with the election results. So, you know, I would love for them to release the raw data. We're still trying to get them to release the raw data from 2004. They won't do it.
Now, they being who?
In this case, the exit polling firm is Matofsky Edison, the same company that did the exit polls in 2004, and the same company that came out and said, well, the reason our polls were so off is because we were wrong and we did it entirely poorly and we were terrible. Mm-hmm. So the media has now turned around and hired them again to do the polls this year.
Well, if Will Pitt wrote, or he didn't write, but he shared something from one of the writers at Salon.com over at Democratic Underground. And Will Pitt's attitude, I think, if I'm reading correctly what he was trying to say, is that why should we believe the media at all? That there really was no fraud involved in the vote counting. It was, the media is always wrong anyway. Why should we believe them?
Well, hey, I haven't even heard them say there was no fraud. They don't use the F word. And
no, not that. Well, yeah. Believing. Why should I think what Will Pitt was saying is why should any of us believe the polling prior to the election? Media always lie. They always get it wrong. So why are we surprised that they got this so wrong?
Well, then you have to assume that dozens and dozens of independent polling firms all got it wrong and all got almost exactly the same numbers across the board.
Well, that's true.
So they and not only that, they then got the Republican numbers exactly right and the Democratic numbers exactly right, except for Obama and Clinton. So, you know, the question is, look, as I started off the show here, everything may be perfectly fine. Every vote may be counted perfectly accurately. However, we don't know. We're not allowed to know. And none of those paper ballots that were used, the 80% of the votes in New Hampshire, none of them has actually been counted by a human being.
Is that supposed to happen?
Not that I know of. No, they run them through the machine. They have no audit procedures that I know of in New Hampshire.
So what's the point then of having a so-called paper trail?
In the case of a challenge, if one of the candidates, I suppose, ask for a recount, hopefully the chain of custody for those ballots, is kept intact, and they can count them and find out if, in fact, the machines were accurate. But so far, no one has asked for such a hand count of the ballots. So we are completely trusting in these machines, the exact same model that is hacked before your very eyes in the Emmy Award-winning HBO Democracy, Hacking Democracy.
You know, I hate to ask for your gut feeling because you approach this from a statistical or scientific point of view. All of this stuff, I've been following your website for years, but what is your gut feeling of what happened in New Hampshire between just in that one race, since all the other data seem to match up, except in this race?
Well, you're right. I can't predict. I really, truly don't have a gut feeling. All I can go on is the facts, and the only facts that we have here, the only thing that we don't know, look, we know what the pre-election polls were. We know what the data is. They're 100% transparent. You can look at those. The only thing that we don't know is what is actually marked on those paper ballots in New Hampshire. So with everybody, turning, flip-flops to try to figure out how to explain what the heck is going on, the most obvious question is, well, the one thing that we don't know is what's actually on those ballots why don't we count them? I know that's a radical idea.
That seems to be, you know, that's Occam's razor in full bloom. You know, the simplest explanation, all things being equal, is usually the right explanation. Now, I realize I'm twisting that a bit, but why not just go ahead and take a look at the data, take a look at all that data. When I look at stuff that says in precincts where Diebold was used, Obama gets 83% of the vote, Clinton gets 45%. Those are towns, not precincts, but towns mm-hmm. that had paper ballots. Obama comes almost doubles Clinton. In towns with Diebold machines, Clinton is 20% ahead of Obama. What the hell is that? I mean,
you've got a 7-point swing in the areas that used Diebold counters versus the areas that were hand counted. New Hampshire is one of the few states that still does some hand counting. About 21% of the votes out there.
Hey, so, can I get you hold on?
Sure, absolutely.
Do you mind holding on over the top of the hour? We'll come back because I want to finish this up. There's some more stuff I want people to hear. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. We'll come back and continue the conversation here with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. If you haven't gone to his website today, during the break here, go. Take a look at what he's got up there. And like he says, he doesn't have a gut feeling. He approaches this from a statistical/scientific point of view. And it's just got me flummoxed. So take a look. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Let's get right back into this. We're talking with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Hopefully you took the time during the break to go to his website if you haven't been there yet today and take a look at what he's got there. The possibility, perhaps, maybe, who knows, of the New Hampshire primary being rigged somehow, some way, for whatever end result. The statistical information that would incline one to at least want to question those results is presented at Bradblog's site. And if it's not there, he'll link to it. You can also go to mediachannel.org is running this, your stuff, too. Is that right, Brad?
Actually, I haven't seen if they are. I know a lot of folks all over the world here today are pointing over to us.
Well, mediachannel.org has it, but it's with crediting you. Also, Citizens for Legitimate Government is taking a hard look at this. And there are several other sites. I even think a Ron Paul site has been questioning what the hell happened. While they didn't expect to win by any means, the realist in the Ron Paul group, they do question why no votes when these emails were sent out registered.
Yeah, well, there was one precinct where Ron Paul registered zero votes, and there was at least three people in that same precinct.
That's
who knew
I got.
That they voted for him.
Family members who went out and voted for him. We have a listener who is works in the fishing industry off the coast of Alaska, and he listens via Sirius, I believe. He just sent me an email. From the ship, he says, Mike, the way I put this together is that the Republicans want Hillary to be the Democratic nominee because they think she's the most beatable. This is why Murdoch supports her. Since they had access to the vote counts, they made sure that she won New Hampshire regardless. Is this your and Brad's hypothesis as well? I don't know that I have any hypothesis right now. Do you?
Well, I can come up with at least three different general groups who would have had the motive and, as we know now, the means and the opportunity to do any of this. And that is essentially, the Republicans, in fact, the most favorable outcome for them, according to the polls, head-to-head matchups, would, in fact, be Hillary versus McCain. So they certainly had an interest in bumping up Hillary, who was in sort of a do-or-die match here in New Hampshire, as many folks had had said before the before the race. Obviously, she had an interest in winning for that same reason. The media certainly has an interest in seeing a real horse race out of this thing between Obama and Clinton. So there's plenty of reasons why anything could be done here. And, you know, we are, well, this is the very first primary. We've had one caucus where the counting is pretty much 100% transparent, at least
right.
on the Democratic side, where you stand there and say, you know, I'm in favor of this guy or whoever. But this is the first primary. We're already having these questions. And, again, if everything is perfectly on the up and up and everything was perfectly accurate here, great. We have no problem. And I would think that the people of New Hampshire and the people of both parties, frankly, would have an interest in demonstrating
but,
that.
But once again, everybody's moved on. You know, nobody's going to check this. Here's an email from Steve who says, I don't know whether Brad has seen this, but
yeah.
it strikes me as very important data. And he lists a website, ronrocks.com, and it
yeah.
says, that site claims to list the actual election results from New Hampshire by district. What most jumped out at me was the two most populous areas, Nashua and Manchester, both used OpScan machines, and both were the most wildly off the mark. If you're going to rig machines, where would you most want to do it in those two places, Steve?
Yep, you can get more bang for your buck by messing with one machine. Yeah, remember the company that runs the entire election out there, the private company LHS Associates. They have, and we've got these guys on record, by the way, you know, admitting that they go to elections with memory cards in their pockets. Those memory cards are the key to the kingdom. They hold the ballot definitions, the totals for how things are tabulated, and they have admitted, and we've got them recorded, admitting this on air, actually, saying, oh, yeah, we've changed memory cards in the middle of elections. We go with a bunch of them in our trunk, in our jacket pocket, and we've changed them whenever we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the things that out here in California, Secretary of State Deborah Bowen has now, you know, done her top-to-bottom study of these e-voting systems and has determined that you can't get anywhere near a memory card. If there's any questions about that memory card, it is to be completely taken out of service, the machine is to be broken down, completely reformatted, and everything else. And yet you have these guys out there, this Ken Hajar, who has actually said, he's the one of the LHS executive directors, who has said, oh, I don't care about laws. Oh, we've got him saying that.
Now, so people know, LHS is the company that is does the programming and the managing of these OpScan systems.
They're the sole service provider, sole
right.
programmer for Diebold. Diebold themselves is really not even up in the New England.
Mm-hmm.
They job everything out to LHS. LHS completely controls the process from top to bottom. They are the only ones who have access to these systems and count them. They have the keys to the kingdom, and they're very bad guys.
But isn't this, I mean, we're talking about voting here in a presidential primary. Is this not a matter of public record? Why is there any delay at all? Why is it handled this way? Why has it been privatized?
No, it's very much not a matter of public record. We've got a court case going on down there in Pima County, Arizona right now that your Arizona listeners will probably know about, where the Democratic Party has had to go to court to sue the county in order to get the records of how people voted, how the machines scanned those ballots back in the 2006 election. They're actually trying to get data going back even longer before that. The county is claiming, no, this is our property. It's the proprietary property of Diebold. And besides, if we give it out, it will tell people how to hack elections. Meantime, they know damn well that they have access to that data. They know how to hack the elections,
right.
and they've decided that this is not the people's property. How they voted is not the people's property.
Oh my
yes,
God.
It is as bizarre and as twisted as that, but there's no other way to put it.
Well, let me
Mike, this is faith-based voting.
Yeah,
period.
Well, screw that. Let me quote something he wrote here. Brad writes, if I were Barack Obama, I'd certainly not have conceded this election this quickly. I'm not sure, quite sure what he was thinking as far as offering an indication of whether he understands how these systems work and the necessity of making sure the votes are counted and counted accurately. It does not offer a great deal of confidence at this hour. You go on to say you've been trying to get in touch with his campaign. Have you succeeded?
I have, actually. I had a brief conversation with someone from the campaign, and it was on they were on a cell phone. The cell phone dropped out where it was breaking up, and they said, let me call you back, and we have not yet made contact again. So we're still working on that.
All right, what should suckers like me, who still are trying desperately to believe that the system works, what should suckers like me do at this point? And people listening to this program, what the hell are we supposed to do, Brad?
You need to stop believing that the system works, because it doesn't.
Stop being a sucker.
There you go. That's a good start. And if you can't see it, you can't trust in it. The best election directors in the country will tell you, don't trust me. The system is not built on trust. Our Constitution is based on checks and balances. And there are absolutely no checks and balances. And people need to understand that, educate themselves, start making noise, start raising hell, start writing letters to the editor, learn what sort of voting systems you use in your county. And, you know, find out if they're transparent or
yeah,
not.
But in the meantime,
yeah,
we are in the middle of a presidential primary system. Decisions, momentous decisions, are being made by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The way it appears is that the decisions are being made by people who go to the polls. But the way the suspicion is playing out here is that those decisions are not necessarily being made by the people who go to the polls. So I understand the write letters to the editor thing. But Jesus, Brad, what do we do now?
Boy, I hate to ruin your night as much as I've already ruined mine, but I've been yelling and screaming about this, as
I
you
know,
with my hair on fire for 4 years. And while I was delighted that the New York Times Magazine on Sunday ran this terrific cover story on this, it was, you know, great, 2 days before the first election using these machines. Where the hell were you? You know,
right.
3-4 years ago, back, frankly, when they were calling me, quite literally, a left-wing conspiracy theorist.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so it's too little, too late not to say people should become depressed about it. They should, obviously, you have to vote. If you don't bother to vote, then nobody needs to bother to steal your vote, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've got to demand transparency. Call your congressman, your senator, and say enough is enough. We need a paper ballot that is actually counted for every vote cast in America, or we are heading towards another meltdown. I mean, this is one election, Mike. Imagine we've got Super-Duper Tuesday coming up on February 5th. And then we've got all 50 states at the same time voting in November. And if you don't question these things now, you know, you
forget
go
it.
Into that November
right.
election, let's say Hillary or whoever the candidate is winning by 10 points, and then the results come out, and what do you know? Giuliani won. Well, you're going to have no right to complain about it, because you can point
you.
Back to New Hampshire. Same thing happened.
I hear you. Brad, listen, I appreciate you coming on the program. With such short notice, we got to leave it there. Thanks a lot, pal. Please stay in touch, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks, sir.
All right, Brad. Take care. Bradblog.com. If you haven't been there today, please go there now. We'll be right back.
Bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malone.
22 past the hour. If you have read any of this at mediachannel.org or Citizens for Legitimate Government, is that .org too? Yeah, .org or bradblog.com.
And there are several other places where this is, or read what Zogby said today at Huffington Post under the headline, Polling the New Hampshire Primaries, colon, What Happened? And he lists six possible explanations, none of which makes any sense when you consider that all six of Zogby's explanations do not apply except in one race, the Obama-Clinton race, and only in certain areas, i.e. where the Diebold machines were used. In the areas where the machines were not used, the polling was exactly right. And the polling was exactly right where it concerned everybody except Obama and Clinton. Republicans, other Democrats. You know, this kind of polling is not coin tossing or reading tea leaves. It is fairly statistically competent research. I don't know. I can't handle too much more. I really can't. Christ, I've been back from vacation for 3 days and I'm ready to leave again. Bob writes in, Hi, Mike, no need to be flummoxed. Numbers don't lie. They match up perfectly as long as you don't look at Clinton and Obama. Then the anomaly bubbles up and lo and behold, Florida and Ohio all over again. And Lauren writes in subject line, she's from Canada, the subject line is You Americans and Your Wacky Elections. And Lauren writes, the exit poll data is adjusted to go with the results. Does that statement that Brad just made make any sense at all? I didn't know that either. Oh, my God. You know, I spent most of yesterday, or no, today. When was the primary? Last night? Was it just, no, this is, yeah, this is Wednesday. It was just last night. Oh, my God. I spent most of today, until I got online, thinking, okay, data mining where it concerns polling and so on and so forth can be a little off. But then I start finding out that it wasn't a little off, that there was only one race that was off, and it wasn't a little, and the voting records are proprietary. Belong to someone else, and on and on and on, and I'm thinking, Christ, here we go again. Now, like Brad pointed out, you know, if the Republicans so badly want to run against Hillary, which I don't know that I agree with that. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they think she's eminently beatable. But then there's the Clinton factor itself, and Brad suggested this too. It crossed my mind when I started reading this stuff. Would the Clinton organization, with its ties to the Republican Party, with its ties to corporate America, would the Clinton organization allow such a thing to happen? I don't know anymore. I'm not. It's difficult for me to accuse Democrats of anything. If I caught a Democrat office holder standing in a bank with a smoking gun and a teller dead on the floor, I would say, where's the nearest Republican who put the gun in the Democrat's hand? I hate Republicans. Democrats, I still have a belief that there's something good about Democrats. I understand. I don't support these Democratic Party leaders in Congress who say impeachment's off the table and who won't stand up to these thugs in the Bush crime family, but is it possible that the Clinton, a lot of you cynics are out there going, oh, Jesus Christ, Mike, of course it's possible. What do you mean? What, you think Clinton walks on water? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
An evil laser trickles down and shipping jobs offshore. He wishes all them unemployed was not trying to tax his wealth. Your brother's keeper just don't apply, cause it's everybody for himself. Shape of Cain and glory, and in
bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk, and you talk that talk.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Boom, 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 boom.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's go to your phone calls here. David is calling from Blaine, Washington. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Thank you so much for bringing this issue up because it confirms what I was feeling, you know, with my intuition and all.
Some questions on your part, too, huh?
Oh, Mike. It's so obvious. But then when you look at the last 7 years, okay, we had 6 years of Republican majority, 1 year of Democratic majority. Nobody in the Congress has done anything to address or reform the election process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have other radio shows that I've heard just recently in the last 48 hours that shooting down any lengthy discussion about election fraud, you know, and reducing it down to crazy talk, which makes me want to blow a blood vessel because that's what we need to be doing. You ask, what should we do? We need to keep talking about it. Because we can't count on the lamestream media to do that because they want to keep distracting us when we should be talking about Sybil Edmonds, you know, and the proliferation of nuclear weapons material from the Bush administration. You know what I mean? Rather than, you know, effing election fraud again over and over and over.
I don't understand, and I truly don't, why every single self-described liberal or progressive talk person, whether he or she is on television or radio, is not questioning from the standpoint that Brad Friedman and Citizens for Legitimate Government and MediaChannel.org, why, you know, the way they're questioning these results from New Hampshire. Why is not everyone, since we all know that these machines are not only hackable, but they are they're next to worthless as far as being machines that will provide a definite count of how we voted, and nobody in mainstream media worth a damn is challenging this. Home box office, yeah, HBO had the special on, and it was what did it win, an Emmy or whatever, and that's it. It's over.
Good. We need to revisit that film, you know, and you need to take off the gloves from here on out because. We, you know, if Bush and the Supreme Court and John Roberts and the PNAC crowd and the Bilderberg group can orchestrate election fraud, we can surely expect more of the same with Bush and Cheney exiting and hopefully into jail, you know, after this election. But who knows what's going to happen in 2008?
Well, we're here. I mean, this is 2008, so by God, we'll know soon, won't we, David?
Well, we need to, you know, turn up the heat. You know, we can't depend on the lamestream media anymore. They're not legitimate. They're irrelevant. They don't have any journalistic standards worth mentioning. It's all shifted to the radio talk shows like yours, the internet, blogosphere. We have all the information. You know, people need to be, you know, the ones that are in denial need to pull their heads out of their lower orifices, you know, and raise your awareness, help each other fill in the gaps. You know, and hold these representatives accountable, the ones that have been enabling Bush for the last 7 years with this Iraq thing, this Afghanistan thing, this Iran thing, you know, and spending all of our tax money on death and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what more do we need to wake up, for F's sake, you know?
I hear you, David. All right, listen, thanks, man.
Thanks, Mike, for everything.
Appreciate you checking in. Take care. It's getting very, very frustrating to the point almost of, I think this is why I come up with what is perceived to be so much negative crap on this program, you know, because it's so frustrating. A Democratic Party that won't fight, a Democratic Party leadership that enables George Bush to do any goddamn thing he wants to do, anything, it doesn't matter, war, tax insanity, environmental destruction. It doesn't matter. The Democrats just go appointments of psycho judges. It doesn't matter. a media that is really, really doing what it television medium, what it was designed to do, make us all forget, confuse us, lie to us, entertain us to death, literally. It gets very frustrating. You know, Kathy and I were talking the other day. Well, not, we weren't having a discussion about it, but I said to her, when we go back after this break, why don't we just let the audience know we're through with this crap? I'm not talking about quitting or leaving, but we're just through with it. We're going to switch the focus of this program to not to Britney Spears' emotional breakdowns, but to other topics, and just leave the political arena completely, because it has become so corrupt, and it's so frustrating for normal people, just normal people. I consider myself to be pretty normal. I consider most of the people listening to this program pretty normal. Just, you know, just normal. Just we just want to live our lives, don't we? And understand that we're not being manipulated, deliberately manipulated, into voting against our own best interests, although a lot of us do that. Setting ourselves up for self-destruction, although a lot of us do that. Just normal life. And since that's what most of us want, certainly what I want, and it's become so obscenely clear, I think, that the political system in this country has been utterly and absolutely trashed. Even if the person I want to win, the next presidential election, wins, I'm going to question it now. I'm going to say, okay, why did that person win? Did the opposition want that person to win? For some ulterior motive? Has the machinery been hacked and toyed with and played with? I have no doubt in my mind at all that the presidential elections of 2000 and 2004 were stolen, literally stolen, from the Democratic nominees. I have not a bit of doubt. I have not a bit of doubt that the congressional elections in 2002, same thing, utterly and absolutely stolen. I have no doubt. I have no more doubt. So what do I do? You know, what can I do? Brad says keep talking about it, write letters, notify mainstream media. What good does it do? Isn't that what we have been doing? And as Brad pointed out, 7 years, nobody in Congress has done a single thing to end this. And why not? Jesus, you talk about, you know, very slowly slipping into paranoia. So Kathy and I were talking about, look, why go back and get back in that muck? This little talk show is not going to solve anything. We never come up with solutions on this program. You know that. That's one of the complaints against this program. Well, goddamn Malloy, all he does is bitch and complain. Doesn't offer any solution. Okay. Never claimed to. I don't think there are any. Short of the fourth box, maybe. Ooh. It gets very frustrated. So, you know, I'm talking about, look, why don't we just go back and just stay away from this slop. You know, change the focus of the program. Change it over to something. But how? And Kathy's saying, no, you're out of your mind. But in a very clear sense, she's right. How do you get away from this? Everything is politics, isn't it? Everything. Every single thing. Every decision that we make. Everything about our jobs, our health care, where we live, how much our house is worth, where we get financing, how many of our sons and daughters are going to be butchered by this son of a bitch in the White House with his psycho wars. Tell me something that is not directly connected to politics. Buying a new puppy. Somehow that's connected. I'll have to think about that one. But somehow it's connected. And you can't build a show on buying a new puppy every night. I mean, maybe once in a while. But oh, my God. But I know y'all are as frustrated as I am. You know, we can sit and talk about this all day long. And I know a lot of you folks will tune in all day long. to progressive or liberal talk show hosts to try to, I guess, retain some sanity. If there was any available here in the Atlanta area without my going to, you know, sitting in front of the my computer all day, I would do the same thing. But the only way I can hear this is go right around in the car where I've got Sirius and listen there, or go online. I think about this area, 5 million people in the metro Atlanta area, and not a single progressive voice in media, not a single liberal, nothing, nobody, nowhere. I don't know. I'm starting to get into that ugly frame of mind that a lot of listeners don't like. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll go to your phone calls. To Scott and Moses and Gene and Rich and Dan. Oh, the number here, by the way, is 800-989-1480. So stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Your phone calls when we come back.
Liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Scott is calling from Federal Way, Washington, listening on KPTK. Hey, Scott.
You remember that little ominous warning that Cindy Sheehan wrote in the Huffington Post back in October, warning people about her fear about the elections being fixed like this?
I vaguely do remember it.
And
yes.
You remember how everybody dismissed her off, and even
sure.
People in so-called progressive media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even to answer your question about why nobody is talking about that, and even in progressive media, because everybody is too worried about the fact that they just want to get their Democrat in there no matter what.
Yeah, you may be absolutely right about that.
And as far as not suspecting the Democrats could not be capable of it, let me tell you something. I don't put anything past either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly do not. And I'm going to tell you something, which would speak to the reason why they might not have said anything in 04. You are aware of the lawsuit that Ralph Nader has filed against the DNC, and not only against the DNC, the Service Employees Union is part of that lawsuit, some of these 527 groups,
mm-hmm.
the Kerry Edwards ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they tried to get him thrown off the ballot, how they tried to bankrupt his campaign with these frivolous lawsuits, intimidate petition signers and all of this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, Scott, in passing, but certainly I don't have a working knowledge like you apparently do about this lawsuit. But
it just all speaks to, and not just with these phony-ass D-bold machines, but all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Caging all of this, throwing people off the voters' rolls and stuff. You have the movie American Blackout, which Cynthia McKinney was in, which is a textbook case of how election fraud took place. And your last caller was right. Nobody in Congress seems to be willing to, or really even seems to even be worried about trying to do anything about this, and including your presidential candidate. They all seem to be very complicit about this. So, you know, what it says to me is that there is just no legitimacy with the presidential elections or the primaries or anything.
Well, see, that's the part I don't understand. If the perennial losers in this vote manipulation scam, the perennial losers are Democrats, why are the Democrats not screaming bloody murder about this? You never hear of Republicans who all of a sudden they have 100,000 votes missing or 50 votes. So why are the Democrats being silent? What do they win? If they're being denied office, you know, why did Al Gore just leave the stage? Why did John Kerry slink off into the woods? What the hell is going on?
Well, you know, like I said, now I can't necessarily speak to the 2000 election, you know, besides that I think that it is just cowardness, and I think that it was just wimpiness. But, you know, like I said, that mess in 2004 with Ralph Nader, because I think a lot of them would have to admit that their role and the kind of step that they pulled with him. So maybe they had something to hide with that. But, you know, it just seems to be this too complicit, and you have the American public who is being not informed or misinformed or disinformed, and they're walking around like zombies, like, you know, this is okay for this kind of stuff to happen. This is about people's civil rights and about people having their voices heard at the polls and stuff. This is not a game.
Right.
And people seem to be taking it like this is some kind of a big joke, and they're more inclined to worry about getting their brand name D in there than they are about their civil rights. And unfortunately, and I'm sorry to say, but a lot of progressive media has taken part in this too and dismisses people off, like Brad Bogg, or like when Cindy Sheehan goes after and blasts these people about this kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as a solution, well, you know, I don't know if there is a solution either. You know,
well,
your representative government is not going to do anything for you. You know, that's the only voice that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's supposed to happen?
Yeah. I hear you, Scott. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. And I think the subtext of what Scott is saying there, and it's not such a subtext, is what you know, what I know. You know, members of Congress are not going to do anything. Media are not going to do anything. Democratic Party leadership, certainly the Republicans, are not going to do anything. There's only 535. Senators and representatives, there's 300 million of us. You know, if the time comes, if the time comes where you and I have really had enough of this, then it will stop. Now, I don't mean you, and I don't mean me, because obviously we've had enough. I'm just speaking in generic terms here. I just hate the term, the American public. If the time comes and the American public has had enough of this, it'll stop. It'll stop overnight. It'll stop instantly. But media are not informing us, like Brad pointed out. Okay, cover story in New York Times Sunday Magazine 3 days ago. You know, 2 days before the election, the primary election in New Hampshire. How many of us can plead ignorance where it concerns the fraudulent nature of these filthy voting machines, these three companies that are run by Christian identity organizations, pro-Republican, right, extreme right-wing organizations, and we have turned over to them counting our votes. And it was Stalin. I mean, Jesus God, this is not new stuff. 70 years ago, Stalin made a statement about it doesn't make any difference. However that runs, and don't send it to me because I've seen it a million times, but he said the only thing that matters is who counts the votes. Stalin said it 70 years ago, 80 years ago. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. We'll be right back.
get drunk in the midnight choir. I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a hook, like a knife from an old-fashioned book.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. The election fraud thing to me is it really is upsetting, because if the foundations of our system of self-government has gotten to the point where it is in the condition it appears to be in, then what the hell's the point in continuing to play along with it? That's what gets me. And for anyone who does not believe that the election system has been tampered with, you must be living in a parallel universe. Since we are media-oriented in this country and very entertainment-focused, I would direct you to the award or the grant. What was it? Emmy Award-winning HBO special on how easy it is to tamper with and change these machines. You can change. I remember watching. They change the results of an election right in front of our eyes. If that can be done, it is being done. It's the same issue. Why does a dog sit there and lick his privates? Because he can. And if somebody can tamper with elections to alter the outcome, they will. Is anyone so naive as to believe that if it is this easy, it's not being done? Oh, please. There has not been a clean, so-called, election in this country. I'm not so naive as to believe otherwise. In God knows how many generations. The difference now is that it can be done on such a massive basis to influence the outcome of elections held across the country on the same day. Whether it's a congressional election in Montana or a senatorial election in Florida or a presidential election coast to coast, border to border. And it's controlled, so much of this is controlled by right-wing, semi-religious organizations who are Christian Reconstructionists, who believe in going to a Leviticus model laws and punishment in this country. Even if all this were in the, if Diebold and ESS and the rest of these companies or whatever the hell they're called, if they were in the hands of progressives, liberals, I would be screaming. Maybe not so loudly, but still screaming. But it's all in the hands of these neo-Nazis. I can't believe that anyone in this country thinks that the elections held now are held fairly, cleanly, and honestly. I just can't. I can't believe that anyone is so, I don't want to say stupid, maybe just out of touch with the truth. The machines used to register and count our votes don't work the way we think they're supposed to, the way that we think they're working. We use touchscreen voting machines here in Georgia. And the last, I think we were the first state to use them statewide. When was it, Kathy? In the 2006 or 2004 election? And now when I walk into this Baptist church not far from where we live, which contains our precinct polling station, I walk in there and go through the rigmarole of filling in the information and showing my a voter ID card. And now I guess I'm going to have to show photo ID. And I get my ballot. I don't even get a ballot anymore. I get a card. I get a key card. They hand me a key card with a magnetic strip on it. And I put it in the machine, and up comes my virtual ballot. and I don't believe a bit of it. Why do I do it? Why do I even bother going to that church and voting? I guess just force a habit? Or I keep thinking, no, well, you know, all the deep old machines are screwy except mine? Except the one I'm in my precinct? Man. Back to your phone calls. Moses is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Moses, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Here's one reason why you shouldn't give up. I know you're very frustrated, and I know that you probably want to talk about something else, but I'm going to give you one reason why you shouldn't stop doing what you did. Because last night, you enlightened me, and I don't want to say enlightened like, I'm not using it loosely. I mean, I felt like a struck of lightning just hit me when you described how we should have a veto-proof Democrat and allow another one of these sick neocons to be back in the White House.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so true that the way Bush left this country, I mean, it's going to be so disastrous that if we put in a Democrat in there, we're going to get, they're going to start blaming the Democrat because of what Bush has done, because of the Bush legacy and what he's done to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I could describe, and I'm very young. I'm 23 years old, and so I haven't been around the Jimmy Carter years. But from what I've read and from what I've looked, from what I've taken from that time, is they blamed Jimmy Carter for all the economic problems that
right.
happened.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it was because of Nixon. It was everything done because of Nixon and other presidencies before that that has led to the economic problems that Jimmy Carter had. And 1993, when the World Trade Center was attacked for the first time, when Clinton just took office, I personally believe that it was the Bush's friends and the other neocons in the CIA that allowed the poor intelligence to take effect, and that it would have, and Clinton would have felt the fallout, would have felt the fallout of the of what happened,
mm-hmm.
the bombing of the World Trade Center. So, I mean, I strongly agree with what, I mean, when you said what you said last night, it was so enlightening, and it just touched me. And one more thing I would like to say, that the president of all the presidential candidates, the top three, the one who comes closer to Dennis Kucinich's health care plan is John Edwards.
Right.
His ideas of health care, it's very specific. I mean, it leans very much towards what Dennis Kucinich has. And to me, I mean, I'm for John Edwards because I felt that his, that of the top three candidates or the top candidates who
mm-hmm.
the media was shoving in our face throughout the whole time,
right.
he's the closest one to Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I said the other night that Kathy has kind of convinced me out of all this frustration that John Edwards is probably the candidate to go for. And then I immediately think to myself, okay, I'll go into the precinct and vote for John Edwards in 08 if he's on the ballot in November, if he's on the ballot. I'll vote for him in the primary here. I don't know when our primary is. I guess we're included in so-called Super Tuesday, which is also a fraud. But when I go in to touch screen my vote for John Edwards, I just wonder if I'm just playing along. I have a very strong feeling now that all I'm doing is playing the game, that what I should be doing is going into, forgive me, it's a Baptist church, but I should be going in there with a sledgehammer, and there will be probably 25 or maybe 20 deep old machines, and I should go in and start smashing them into a million pieces, all the while screaming, long live democracy.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Okay, about us being played by the media and by all these these powers.
Yeah.
I personally believe that John Kerry took that fall in 2004 so that Hillary could have her chance to run and that she wouldn't be able to run against another Democrat
in
2008.
Yeah, but that then raises the issue, Moses, is why in the world would he do that? But it's a possibility. Thanks, Moses. I got to go. Appreciate what you had to say. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
We watched the tragedy unfold.
Miles Radio with Mike Millar.
Twenty-two past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Gene is calling from San Francisco, listening on the internet. Hey, Gene.
Oh, hi. I was just grooving to that music. Oh, I like that music.
Mike,
yes. I have a word for you.
All right.
Citizens. And that means free business.
That means what?
It means free business.
Gene, you're totally breaking up on us here. We're catching like every second word. Let me put you on hold. Let's see if we can get a better connection. And let's move Gene. If Gene has to call back in, move it right up because she held on for over an hour. But the connection is lousy. Rich is calling from Toledo, Ohio, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, I got a little quick scenario to set up for you. Before I do, I want you to remember this. Remember Lieberman. They want it, you know, Edwards is going to be the one they don't want to run against. So they got to try and freeze him out. So what do? They send their Republican and so-called independents into Iowa to give Obama a little bump. Then he gets too big a bump. And then they go to New Hampshire, and supposedly Hillary's 20 points down. So then they send him into New Hampshire to go give Hillary a bump because they don't want her to quit because head-to-head, Edwards is going to beat Obama. So now they're freezing Edwards out, and they don't care who they're going to run against as far as Hillary and Obama because, you know, they're going to beat either one of those.
Well, you know, none of that matters, Rich, if the voting machines are rigged or access to the software and access to the vote totals is available to people who comprise the flying monkey right in this country, the right wing in this country. To me, look, let me put it this way. I don't see any overt conspiracy. I think media are derelict in how they present certain candidates. They decide that Dennis Kucinich, for example, is not worthy of all the attention, so they drop him. But aside from that, I don't see any conspiracy of moving people around to vote. If the voting machines were legit, then that would happen. They don't need to do that. All they have to do is what they've already done. Convince various secretaries of state around this country to buy and use these hideous machines that can be and are programmed to provide the winners that the programmer wants. And
but, I mean, even as a fallback, you know, I mean, they've had, what, 8 years now with President Clinton, or President Bush's right-hand man. They've had 8 years to set all this stuff up.
Right.
And like I say, they would have never got Lieberman if they hadn't have dumped their own man in Connecticut. Republicans went in there and voted for him. They dumped their own guy in Connecticut just to get Lieberman back.
Right. No, I hear what you. I understand what you're saying. Sure, it's very easy to in a situation like the Lieberman vote. Lieberman was told by his party, the Democrats, to get out of town. That they wanted what was his name, Ned Lamont. You know, get out of town. You're nothing but Republican light. And the Republicans came back and voted for him. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. But for the kind of massive election fraud that we're talking about, Rich, it's control of these hideous machines. Rich, thanks, man. I got to move on. I appreciate you checking in. Pete is calling from Wisconsin, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Pete.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I got a solution for this problem.
All right.
And I'm going to make a challenge for all these runners. They say that they want to change. They say that they're going to make things better. They want to turn this country around and everything else. I'm going to challenge them to prove their facts, do what they say they're going to do, make a change, and have this a repoll done. I mean, everything on paper ballots, get rid of the electoral machines over there in New Hampshire, and I would think that the New Hampshire people themselves, if their votes are getting screwed around, that they'd want to redo it.
But how do they know? I mean, how does any individual know? Look, I live in Georgia, and up until 4 years ago, this state had been Democratic since the Civil War, or since shortly after Reconstruction. It had been controlled by Democratic administration, Democratic House, Democratic Senate. All of a sudden, it changed. And as far as I'm concerned, it changed not because we had a huge influx of people from other parts of the country, but because we had people tampering with the way we elected our leadership. So it's the vote tampering. Oh God, the election fraud. Pete, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back.
Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up.
Six before the hour. A couple of emails here. Let me just work them in. This is from Art in Manhattan. He says, hey, what's all this bitching and moaning? After all, the war's over, isn't it? At least I haven't heard anything about it for a long time. Our dear leaders running around the Middle East doing a victory lap. Dana Perino tells us to be glad that global warming will save the lives of those who would otherwise freeze to death. I can go on and on, but then I'd miss my regularly scheduled lobotomy appointment. All right, Art. From Bob, Mike, vote fraud is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. The machines are corporate machines. Our voting system was privatized without our input. Whose idea was that? It's a corporate plan. Whoever is going to be, quote, picked, end quote, is the corporate choice, regardless of the party. The differences between the parties is only discernible on the people level. The party bigwigs are all corporate cronies. Bob. And this from Tom in Ann Arbor, who writes, Mike, I didn't get a chance to listen to your full conversation with Brad Friedman, but I wanted to send you a quick comment. I, too, was alarmed or concerned by the outcome in New Hampshire. The difference between the pre-election polls and the stated results were enough to make me think there was at least the possibility of some kind of hanky-panky going on. I could easily see a number of possible interests wanting to fix the results to their benefit by having Ms. Clinton defeat Mr. Obama in the New Hampshire Democratic primary. The key would be to find out if the exit polls were consistent with the reported outcome from the election, the actual, quote-quote, results. Now, I don't have access to the raw data from the exit polls. In fact, it's easier to find what passes for media analysis of the exit poll results than the results themselves. But I was able to come to find some of the data online. You can find it yourself at the LA Times website. I ran the numbers on the data that was available, and in three cases, there's enough information to have a complete partition of the data to see at least if the exit poll agrees with the reported results. Results reported by Brad Blog were that Ms. Clinton received 39% of the vote, and of course, everybody agreed with this, mainstream media. Clinton received 39% of the vote. Obama received 36%. My calculations, Tom writes, based on the reported results of the exit polls from the LA Times website are as follows. Breaking the vote down male-female, Clinton got 38.5%, Obama got 36.5%. Breaking it down college-educated or non-college-educated, Clinton got 38.1%, Obama got 37.1%. And breaking it down by age, Clinton got 39%, Obama 36%. And then Tom writes, the male, female, and age breakdowns are well within rounding errors of the final reported outcomes. The age breakdown looks a bit worse in comparison, but due to the larger number of subcategories, the rounding errors are still within reason. Unless there is evidence that the exit polls have been modified or corrected in some way, I would have to say that this evidence doesn't support the notion of chicanery or hanky-panky. I don't have a particular dog in this fight. I have been and will continue to be a Kucinich supporter. Blah, blah, blah. So what Tom is saying here, using the actual voting results as reported compared to the exit polls as reported, there really doesn't appear to be that much of a difference. But where I would disagree with Tom is what he says here, unless there is evidence that the exit polls have been modified or corrected in some way. Well, that's the point. The exit polls apparently have been modified. That was, I think that was one of Brad Friedman's central points, is that the exit polls are always modified to correspond as closely with the actual vote totals. The problem here is that we can't see, we don't know what the vote actually was. Yeah, the LA Times has a report, New York Times has a report, MSNBC has a report, Brad Friedman has a report, hell, Mike Malloy has a report. But it's all based on information being fed us. It's not based on looking at the actual vote totals as recorded either A, by the machine software, or B, by the backup system, the hand-counted, or not hand-counted, but the paper ballots. Now, I don't know if that there's any way, if you're going to run a fraud on vote totals, you don't have a backup system that exposes the fraud. Otherwise, you're a goddamn fool. What you do is make sure that your system of fraud is fail-safe. And in this instance, I mean, after 4, 5, 6 years of lawsuits, sure, there has been some proof that machines were tampered with. But nobody, I defy anyone to present to whom? To the Federal Election Commission, to mainstream media, actual numbers in various precincts that show a complete reversal of the candidate who won versus the candidate who was defeated, or enough change in the vote totals to influence the election itself. And the reason that's not been done, wait, you know, I understand that some of this has been made public, but these voter programs are, here it comes, proprietary information. It's owned, as Bob Alexander pointed out here, it's all owned by corporate America. We have outsourced. Dear God, do you understand this? We have outsourced the way we elect our representatives, whether it's a senator, a member of the House, or the president. We've outsourced it. It's gone to privatized corporate America, and it happens to have gone to corporations that are corrupt, run by crooks, thieves, liars, freaked-out Christians, and right-wing neo-Nazis. That's the group to whom we have turned over our system of voting. I mean, think about that. We can sit here and talk about vote totals as reported here and breakdowns as reported there until we're all blue in the face. Here's the bottom line. It's not run by local election commissions anymore. You don't walk in someplace that's run by your county, your precinct, and cast your ballot, and a county or precinct worker counts it. And then that county or precinct worker calls up the election headquarters and says, here's what we've got. Candidate A, 30 votes. Candidate B, 62 votes. Candidate C, 18 votes. That's it from here. And it goes into a system of people sitting there and adding up little columns of numbers, all of whom are on the employ of the county or the state. That is gone. That's not how it's done. If there is a chance to skew an election a certain way in order to benefit a certain group or philosophy, and the machines are privately held. Is there anyone who believes that if that system of fraud is available, it won't be used? Come on, nobody that listens to this program is that ignorant. Of course it'll be skewed. There is no question. If it can be done, it will be done. In order to satisfy the goals or aims of a certain political faction, a certain political party, a certain corporate interest. In the meantime, the rest of us sit out here under the illusion that we are electing the people who are going to govern us. I mean, is that so weird and bizarre? Is that so tinfoil hattish that you can't get that? I mean, it's taken me a while, but I get it now. It has been proven over and over and over again that these machines are not secure, that the people who write the programs, the companies that write the programs to tally the votes, are fraudulent bastards, are right-wingers. Some of them are actual criminals. And yet we're supposed to believe that the vote tallies and the counting and all this stuff that we all go through, all this feverish, you know, get out the vote and pound the pavement and hand out literature and wave the signs and carry people to the polls on election day, that somehow that will override the fraud? Come on, folks. We can't be that stupid. I know the people who are running this, corporate America and the Diebold machines and the rest of the machines, think we're that stupid. And so far we've demonstrated we're that stupid because we keep going along with it. But are we really that stupid? So what has to be done? One of two things. Give up, which is what they are hoping that we do. Or, secondly, prevail upon our state. This is what Brad said. Not members of Congress. Screw them. That's not where votes are handled. Votes are not handled in Congress. Votes are handled here, on the county, the precinct, the state level. It's the secretaries of state of the 50 states that determine how the votes are going to be cast and counted. That's who we go to. And say enough of this. Get rid of these goddamn things. We're not going to do this. Give me a paper ballot and a pencil and let me mark my X and then count the damn thing. That's what we have to do, right? Before the hour, thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Appreciate it. All right, we have Gene in San Francisco back now, who's listening on the internet. Hey, Gene.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Much better. Thanks for calling back in.
Yeah, the only reason the people still get to vote on Election Day probably is because it's such big business. It's next to Christmas for their profit.
Yeah, that's true.
What you said about voting last night was so profound and so simple in its beauty. I just you said each of us goes into the voting booth alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you've helped me understand something. it's very basic. I understand now. I will vote only using my own values and expectations of government. I will not take a bunch of other people in there with me, people who are with their predictions and their mm-hmm. polls and media speculation on electability. And now, after tonight's show, I don't even want to take in their deep old electronic voting machines or their evil LHS spies.
I hear you.
I just want to leave them all outside. And now none of them belong in there with me, and I'm not voting to meet their mm-hmm. plans or projections. I'm just voting to please myself. And my new T-shirt will be a Mike Malloy quote. It says, "Vote alone."
I want to go to my precinct the next time I vote and be handed a paper ballot and a pencil.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be on that ballot. I would like to have the names of all the candidates. If it's a primary election, give me the names of all the candidates running for this office in the Democratic Party, because I'm going to vote Democratic. And then leave an open line or two at the bottom so I can write in a candidate if I don't like the five or six that are up there. That would be my second choice. My first choice would be to have proportional voting, where I go into a vote for some in the primary, I vote for three people. And then the votes, if my first choice doesn't make it, maybe my second choice will. And if not my second choice, maybe my third choice. Proportional voting, which is being pushed by, I think, real progressives in this country, real liberals. I think it would work better, probably better than parliamentary system, which I think far outweighs what we've got going in this country. But I would just like to be handed a paper ballot and a pencil with an eraser on it and pointed in the direction of the voting booth. And then when I come out, let me give the pencil to somebody and let me put the ballot in the box and somebody just count the damn thing.
Yeah, I used to have a neighbor who worked in the voting department in our county. And they used to just staff up, and everybody just used to take care of it. But now it's like it's all jobbed out, and they sent it to a big tabulator in the middle of the state, and nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking earlier about a needing a word for the public, and I looked up citizens. And citizens means a free men entitled to full civil rights. Pretty good word.
Yeah, it is.
And so it means a lot of responsibility for us, and mm-hmm. I want to be a citizen.
Yeah, I would like to be too. I just wonder if what's involved in being a citizen now, given the fact that so much is controlled
mm-hmm. and denied us.
And denied. Well, I don't know. I'm, you know, like I've said on this program before, I can sink into these depths of frustration, but I'm not about to give up. Not me, and apparently not you either, right?
Give me the torch.
I hear you, Gene. Thanks. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Take care. Matt is calling from Ohio, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, I was just thinking that maybe we should ask for a receipt. You know, when we go in and do our voting with our that way we have receipts when we leave there showing who we voted for, the time we was in there, the time that we voted. That way, if there's any questions in our state about
the only way that would work is if the vote totals were published, A, and then B, if everybody who held a receipt could look at the vote totals and then meet with everybody who voted for candidate A. I mean, the receipt idea is fine, but only as far as it goes. It has to go way beyond that. There has to be an open counting of the votes that I think preferably should be done by hand, should not be done by computers, because computers and the computer programs are owned by somebody, some private company, and they don't have to tell you what's going on inside the computer because they own it and it's proprietary information. So having a receipt really wouldn't work. I mean, it's, I see where you're going with that, but But having the receipt, Matt, just it wouldn't work unless all the people who held a receipt for candidate A could somehow get together and compare notes. And if it's a presidential election and you have 3 million people voting in your state, how in the hell are you going to do that? But I get your point. You're as frustrated as I am, for God's sake. We don't have time to take another call. We're flat out of time. So for the folks that I'm leaving online here, I'm sorry. I apologize. Try again later this week. We'll get to you for sure. That's it for tonight. Thanks a lot for hanging out. We do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. And don't forget this Sunday, tune in to the live stream at KPHX. Or go to NovaMradio.com. And listen to the stream from our flagship station in Seattle. I mean in Phoenix. In Seattle? In Phoenix. It's late. It's bedtime. And listen to Shelley and Anita and their dentist and I raise some hell. That's going to be interesting. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.